latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania Breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't stop shaking. The room has a groove and the floor. It's almost earthquaking.
We're back at the races, coming up on 5 into Hour 3 on this Tuesday. And really now into a steady beat at Saratoga. And of course, it's Whitney week, and we've already started to talk about the sale Monday and Tuesday. A lot of people, Saratoga really starts now this week. Andy Serling, though, for Andy, it started 2 weeks ago. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
You know, good. Good.
I'm really fresh today. There'll be no yawning. I've eaten my breakfast. I hate to disappoint people. But as you well know, I was up early. Did get a little more sleep after that, though, in case you're worried.
You fell back asleep? Good, 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 good.
Well, I got some work done, then I took a little nap and got ready for your show. I wanted to really be fresh and ready for the day. You know, this will be our last time together for a while. And, you know, I want to make sure that this is really a blockbuster visit.
I don't want it to just be
a run-of-the-mill one. I want it to be something to remember.
Well, in that case, we should probably go right into a movie discussion and food, and there's already been a bunch of movie references, including it occurred to me that I'm facing sort of a Clockwork Orange scenario.
With this
eyes.
Yes. They gonna make you watch like violent movies?
I have no idea. I I guess I'm going to be under, right? I mean, that's why they're doing
that. That was the whole thing we just talked about, you being under.
Yes.
Who knows what they'll do to you while you're under? Maybe you'll come out and you'll stop playing those songs for way too long when we come on.
I
changed plans.
Let me tell you.
I noticed it was short today. It was good. I wanted to you set the tone
up
with that.
And thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
I will say the communication was overwhelmingly on my side. The social media outcry.
About the songs?
Yes. Yes.
Steve, winning a Twitter fight doesn't make you right. Especially when I'm the other person in the fight.
Exactly. That's for sure. Well, going to a dead rail repeatedly doesn't make a jockey right either. What was going on? Let's talk about Saturday.
Well, I think it is interesting watching the riders that have trouble identifying bias. And in the case of New York, they're really some of the best riders, are often the least aware of them. And it's something that we saw on Belmont weekend, and it's something we saw last weekend. So, but, you know, I think those things are opportunities for people that follow the biases and understand them to make money going forward, because there are going to be a lot of races where horses look a little bit better than they were, but also, more importantly, a lot worse than they were. A horse like Looking at Bikinis.
Yep.
He had a remarkable race in the Curlin, considering where he was. I mean, the rail was like quicksand on Friday, my God. And, you know, we did see some foolish moves. And, you know, it's funny. You know, Tacitus, I love this narrative that seems to have, I don't know where it's come from, that Tacitus creates his own problems. Like, that might be like the stupidest concept I've ever heard. Let's discuss Tacitus this year. Did he create the perfect trip in the Tampa Bay Derby? Was that a problem he created? He got bounced around a little in the Wood Memorial. Was that his fault? And he still fought through it and won, but it was his fault, right? That horse, that whole guy who rode the horse on the outside, Jovia, cut off half the field and caused a chain reaction. That was Tacitus. You know, Tacitus sent like a brainwave to Jovia's rider to do that to start. So then it was Tacitus' fault that it poured before the Derby, right? Because he creates that. Because he's like a weather god too. He's like the most powerful horse ever, and thus creating a difficult environment, which caused him to maybe sort of get, you know, pushed back at the start and out of position. Okay, or was he responsible for game winner's trouble? Was that where he? And then in the Belmont, Tacitus is the reason for the gold rail, and also Tacitus is the one that drew the ball that gave him post 10 against the gold rail. And Tacitus engineered Joel Rosario to ride Sir Winston and give him one of the greatest rides, especially in a biased racetrack ever. Tacitus engineered all that crap, right? Now, he stumbled the start in the Jim Dandy. You want to blame him for one thing? Maybe you could blame him. But I'm going to say that in general, bad stumbles by horses that have never stumbled before are just unfortunate acts. It just happens sometimes. And then, that devil Tacitus, he got his rider, Jose Ortiz, who won the Eclipse in 2018, is riding fabulously well in general at Saratoga, is runaway leading rider at this point. He got him to take him to the goal, to dead rail for the last half of the race. That Tacitus, that crafty devil. So someone's going to have to tell me which part of his trouble that he's orchestrating in these races. He's just been unbelievably unlucky, like off the charts unlucky. He's like the horse player that has 5 of 6 and 2 huge pick 6s to sweep the pool, and 3 straight times his horse like stumbles or something with a 4-length lead at the 16th pole, and the rider just falls off just as they're crossing the wire and he's disqualified. I mean, it's ridiculous to suggest that he's making his own trouble. No, he's a really good horse that has just been unbelievably unlucky. You know what happens to horses like that? They stop getting unlucky, and they end up being champions. He should have won the Jim Dandy by 6 lengths. With all due respect to Tax, and you know, he's a really nice horse, and it was a great claim by Danny Gargan and those guys, and he did a great job with him. I don't want to knock them. You know, he should have been the distant second place finisher and saying, hey, Tacitus ran really well in there. But nobody was beating Tacitus. I mean, how many acts of God is he going to have to put up with where people are saying, he's making his own trouble?
Well, no. Well, I agree, and it also feeds into, or is emblematic of what you talk about results orientation.
Right, right. He had the whole stretch to get by him. Yes, that would be the only accurate part of that statement. You're correct. He had the whole stretch to get by him. That's true. Factually correct. It's an idiotic way to represent the way the race was run. I mean, trips are what they are. We have to be able to determine what they are. And listen, there are differing opinions on them, but let's talk about facts. He stumbled really badly at the start. The rail was really bad on Saturday. He was down on it for the second half of the race. Tyrell Ortiz wasn't on the rail because certain smart people made sure he wasn't on the rail. Because, frankly, he was on it two races before when he rode Frisian Fire down to the rail and cost him probably second. And listen, as brilliant as Imperial Hint was, and you don't want to take away from how great Imperial Hint was, and he's just got to be one of the most super cool horses racing, his performance was somewhat exaggerated by the racetrack. And I don't in any way want to dismiss him because his performance was just tremendous and it was great to watch and stuff. But the racetrack certainly played a role. Do we think Diamond Ops, who had a very similar trip, has got a 105 buyer? Is that good a horse? So that was the racetrack played a big role in it. But that's horse racing. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, that's one of the things I like about racing, right? I mean, it's interesting. You know, when you have extreme buys like that and on short term basis, I find dead rails much more interesting than gold rail, right?
Yes.
You know, a dead rail can produce interesting things and going forward, and it's much more subtle, and people won't notice as much, and they won't notice, that horse will say, he did terribly last time. It's like, well, he was down in quicksand. So I think there's a lot of good stuff we'll be able to mine on a Friday and Saturday, and performances is not, just because looking at Bikini's got this, unfortunate trip, and ran really well doesn't mean that Highest Honors and Endorsed didn't run well. Yes, they were very much with the track, but still, I think Endorsed, to show that Kieran brings him back off this extended layoff, he runs a brilliant race at 6 furlongs and runs terrifically to run second in the Curlin, in a very good Curlin, by the way. That's a great stakes Curlin, not an ungreat stakes Curlin, And so I think that's a real tribute to what kind of horse he is, and Kieran, the guys, did a great job with him, and Highest Honors as well for Chad Brown, right? That, lightly raced horse off a maiden win to run that well. Got a huge pedigree, and I think he liked a wet track, too. He ran so well on his debut, but he's a very good horse. Listen, Chad Brown's been very high in that horse for a long time. It just seemed like Laguna Bikini's was the better horse coming in, and I think he's the better horse coming out, personally. But that doesn't mean I don't think that Highest Honors has got some big races in his future. I mean, it was a very good weekend, and that we saw the really good horses there. And this Travers is going to be a sensation. And let me say something else. War of Will, I've heard a lot of talk. He didn't like the track. No, he didn't like the dead rail. He didn't have a problem with the track. He didn't like the dead rail. War of Will actually ran fine in that race. It was just his performance shows you how remarkable Tacitus' performance was. But War of Will, Tyler took him right down to the rail on the backstretch. He didn't run that badly in finishing third. He was buried on the dead rail. I think Mark Hasty's making a mistake if he's overly discouraged by War of Will's performance in the Travers.
He's already rethunk it. He's had a chance to watch and he's absorbed all this, and I think he's back in the other direction.
Right. I mean, it's fine if Mark thinks, if Mark says the horse is telling him he doesn't want to run, then that's fine. But Mark's a guy that likes to run and has the results to prove it, and if he feels this is the good War of Will, he's going to the Travers, and we want to take a shot, he shouldn't say, well, I can't run him after his Jim Dandy. Nonsense. He ran fine in the Jim Dandy. I mean, he's the performance that's being dismissed, it's just sort of ignored because everybody's focusing on Tacitus so much. You shouldn't ignore that he was down the rail as well. Biases don't come that often. Like that, so I understand why riders are sort of unprepared for them. You know what I mean?
Well, I do. I brought this up already with Dick earlier because Dick is so clued in on track surface. And what I discussed, Andy, was how we got caught, with the rain on Thursday.
Crazy storm on Thursday, right?
Exactly, and we had such a throwback situation with an authentic muddy racetrack drying out all day Friday and was still wet on Saturday. We don't get that anymore. It's foreign to everybody.
Was it still?
Oh yeah, it was. Sure was.
It was fast.
it was fast, but it was there was still plenty of moisture. You could see on the outer apron where you still had the water, the glisten, you know, the gleam of the water.
See. Can you see?
That's so that now Sorry, now that Mr. Magoo jokes are going to start. Tina's already calling me Magoo. This is bad.
I want to know if you're going to have visiting hours on Mondays and Tuesdays at the house. And if you're going to, I'd like Tina to make sure she has the proper spread out.
The buffet will be $19.95,
right?
Oh yeah, it'll be a big help.
I'm sure he will. I'll see to him about it. I'll make sure. When do you think the visiting hours are going to run from in Greenwich? Do you think it'll be like the most traffic in Greenwich since, I don't know,
the tractor parade, the lighted Christmas tractor parade? Probably in December,
this
yes.
This could be bigger,
you think?
Yeah, it could be like a traffic jam from Saratoga through Schuylerville into Greenwich.
Well,
we lined up down Broadway in Greenwich.
We could do a drive-by. They could basically just slow.
Is there a back way in? I mean, did you go back way into Greenwich?
I will. I'll send you a note. You can come in through Thompson Corners, and I'll bring you in. I'll bring you in around the back. You can come by Argyle.
In?
You ever been to Argyle?
Find out when you're going in? Oh, are you kidding me? I got our life 2-3 days a week.
I'm literally on call. Whenever there is an opening in the operating theater at Albany Med, they will.
It's a theater, so I can go. It can be like and bring the what do you call it? The mints.
The junior mints.
Junior mints. Yeah.
Drop a junior mint into my body cavity. Oh my God.
I'm extremely upset. You won't be at the Whitney draw tonight.
I'm upset about that myself, and
you're presenting you with an award, so I guess we have to postpone that.
All right, please do, and save it for the Travers draw.
You might be able to make that.
I might. That's what I'm shooting for. I'm shooting for Travers week, and
it's good to have something to go on for, Steve.
I don't want to disappoint you.
I'm going to miss not seeing you. I've seen you twice. The entire music it is.
By the way, complex. Well, you've made it 20 minutes into this visit, and you haven't said anything about that sport coat from Sunday.
Because fortunately, I didn't see it.
Yes, you did. You were looking right at me.
When?
On Sunday.
I was in the paddock. I was in the studio in the front with Tom and Greg.
I saw you. I walked by you. Gave you a big wave. Gave you the big hello.
Did I see you?
You sure did.
Where was I?
It was in the clubhouse, in the opening in the clubhouse. You were entertaining a throng, so you may have been.
I'm not exactly sure
distracted.
I would describe it that way, but I remember it's when you didn't save me.
Oh, I was supposed to pull you. I was supposed to interject and pull.
Just kidding. But I do vaguely remember it.
Talk about
the coat.
The coat is.
Well, you don't talk about something besides your coats.
Well, Woody Broun and Lindsey Nelson would have been very proud.
Sure.
Talk about the two individual performances. Talk about the Imperial Hint effort on Saturday and Chancelot on Sunday.
Well, they were great. I mean, Imperial Hint was a great performance. It was very much track enhanced, but it was a dramatic performance. And the best thing about it is he's sort of back, right? I mean, he's a horse that you could have kind of half writing off when he didn't run well at Tampa. And he didn't run especially well in Dubai, and to come into a race like this without any real prep for it and stuff is sort of you feel like the result's not going to be a good one. And I don't know anyone that liked him particularly, and he just galloped. I mean, he was great. He's a really cool horse, right? Back to back wins at Vanderbilt, and while last year's win was a fast win and an easy win, he beat nobody. That certainly wasn't the case in this race. And Matoli was hurt by being down inside and. Didn't run his race. He was down inside, and Frenzy Fire got this really unfortunate ride going down inside, but nobody was coming close to Imperial Hint in that race. He was tremendous. And as far as Chancelot, I don't even know what to say. It was one of the most jaw-dropping performances I've seen since it is the most jaw-dropping performance I've seen since Arrogate. I mean, that was not a bad field. Normally, 12-length wins like that are more a result of who's behind a horse, especially going 6.5 in the dirt. And it wasn't. I mean, the horses behind him were good. You know, Nitra's a good horse. Honest Mission's a good horse. There were other horses in there. And there were literally two races taking place. He was in a race by himself against the clock, and the others were in the race. I mean, I think somebody said, Steve Asmussen said, Nitra thinks he won. And if, you know, it would make sense. I mean, it's almost sort of a joke, but it's also sort of true, right? You couldn't even see the others, right? It was like, it was unbelievable. I mean, watching it, I think both Tom Amos and I turned around the set, we're just around the eighth pole, just to sort of watch him go by on the track. Just to be like, okay, I saw it. Like, I don't believe it, but I saw it.
Yep.
And it was, like, they ran a quarter mile, and Tom turned to me and said, this race is over. Like, that was, you could tell that it was not some goofy horse speeding off to a big lead, you know? Because the truth was, the first faction wasn't that fast. And it was 21.78 or 79. That's like 21.4, basically. With the long run up for the 6.5 furlong races, that's not that fast. That's like 22.1, you know, 22.2 on 6 furlongs. You can say, did he benefit from a slow first quarter? Fine. Yeah, what I'm saying is, it's not like he was going through quickly and he was 5 or 6 in front of the field, right? They couldn't even keep up with him at that point, and it was just, listen. I know it was late in the day, and I understand why people were frustrated. You know, you run a race like that at 7:45 on a Sunday. I get it, but forget about that. If you haven't seen it, make sure you watch it, because it's probably the performance of the year.
Yeah.
I hope there are other performances like it, but, you know, there are those performances that you remember for a long, long time, if not for your entire life, and that was truly one of them.
Yeah, I can tell you how big it was, because on Monday morning, Andy Beyer texted me with the 121 figure with an exclamation point, and I could tell, because he and I then went back and forth about a couple of things, the mud on Monday, on Friday and Saturday, and I could tell Andy was excited by it, you know, to have a legit, and because he talked about the fact that the track probably slowed down late in the afternoon, and he said there is no question what this performance was in terms of a figure, because Nitrous and Honest Mischief make it absolutely unquestionable about whether it was a 121 on the figs.
Oh, I'm going to argue there's probably a better argument that was higher. Probably a better argument
could
higher than lower.
Could be.
Chris texted me about it. Thought the figure would be around there. Seth, the same thing. Everybody was looking at these numbers and saying the same thing. Like, nobody was saying this was. I said, if you want to be conservative, and the second third horse got 90s, the number is approaching 120. And I don't think the second third horses should be getting 90s. Yeah, this was a no doubt about it, off the charts, you know, just brilliance. No, it was great. I mean, I was never going to bet a horse like that. I thought he was probably overbet at that price. He wasn't. He was underbet. There's no, you know, he should have paid 210, I guess. I mean, I don't know if you know that going in, but wow. Like, just wow. I don't know what to say. It was really a cherry on top. It was a fun weekend of racing. And plus, I mean, the Bowling Green was a really fun race.
I was going to ask you next.
For Luis Saez, for setting him the front. And there were four or five horses could have been in front of him. And I imagine Todd had something to do with that as well. And I'm sure it's very satisfying. I've always been a Channel Cat fan, and I picked him like fourth, I think. And we were talking about our long shots before the race. Both Gary Stevens and I both thought the Channel Maker was our long shot. I've always liked him and felt he would get better with distance. And I think he's just starting to mature. And people could say, well, he's a little lucky, went the front. How about the possibility that he's, you know, in the middle of his 4-year-old year, the other horses are 5, 6, and they're good horses, but they're not going to get better. And maybe Channel Cat keeps improving. And I think Channel Cat potentially could have a really good career. I've always liked him. I've always thought he was a horse that had the potential to move forward, so I was really happy he won. I mean, there was no excuse for Yo Primo. He was right near the pace and moved up on the inside, and, you know, he ran fine, but he didn't have an excuse. And Channel Maker had every chance to win the race and didn't get up. I thought it was a really, really terrific effort. It was good to see.
And I will mention, there's a real notable backstory to a horse like Channel Cat. And granted, he's out of a Kitten's Joy mare. He's by English Channel. He was always going to be a turf horse. However, the presence and the development of races like the Pennine Ridge and the Belmont Derby, and in some cases the Penn Mile, the way in which racing offices around the country adjusted to the changing, you know, the shifting sands, makes it possible that a horse like this is just reaching his career, you know, the middle good part of his career.
Well, we've been running the Bowling Green for a long time, but I hear
Of course, Bowling Green. I'm saying, but races.
Are you saying that you're excited that you'll be sorry that you'll be missing the Saratoga Oaks and Saratoga Derby this weekend?
Well,
are you
going
to be able to watch?
Maybe not the Oaks. Well, I can watch literally with one eye.
Well, that's okay. Okay.
I guess. Yeah.
Should we have like a special thing for you? We'll be watching Saratoga Live all day. There's not other coverage too this weekend. I'm not sure what other networks, because actually we're only on for anything about 3 hours each Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So a light weekend of the meet. But there's other coverage. NBC's, I know. I think they do the big race on Saturday. I hope you'll be able to watch. I really do. I like making fun of you, but I feel really bad. I hope you're okay.
Thank you.
I am worried about you. Everybody's
worried
about you. What are we going to do without you? I am.
Well, we'll figure it out. The weird thing is, I have to lay on my stomach. You realize?
I know.
The weird. That part of it is even more intimidating than.
Has Tina moved out yet? Probably an opportunity for her. I want you to tell her that I won't blame her. Tell her that I will understand. That frankly, I think she's already done enough. It's a good thing this also wasn't the weekend that you were going into the Hall of Fame, by the way.
What Thank you. Gotten? I don't know. The Ring
they
of Honor?
Or what? They got it next year anyway, so it's a good thing. I think the vote was close this year.
Oh, my God. Well, I am going to miss Tony Black accepting for My Juliet, which I've looked forward to.
My Juliet, who beat Bold Forbes in the Vosburgh in his return as a three-year-old.
Exactly right.
Exactly right. She was a tremendous horse.
Ask Angel about that, because Angel was taunting Tony Black in the gate about what.
Well, that's what Angel does. One of the reasons Angel was Angel.
Yeah, well, Angel only got to look at her ass the rest of the way.
Angel has been front an awful lot of times.
By the way, I was hoping that you would respond to what I put out on Saturday. Saturday morning early, when I was writing up selections, I found A Phenomenon's Vosburgh, and I wanted everybody on Vanderbilt Day to appreciate who the race was created for in 1985.
Was the Vanderbilt the A Phenom?
Yes.
Was the A Phenom though the Boojum? Did the Boojum become the A Phenom?
I don't know. From everything I remember, the A Phenomenon was created for him after he died in 84.
I remember. My friend Toby from college was visiting me when we were at Saratoga that day. I loved A Phenom. His race against Fit to Fight in the Met Mile was one of the great races in IRA history. Oh, what an unbelievable race that was.
Well, all he faced were champs and hard hitters. That Vanderbilt, he beats Fit to Fight, Let Burn, who would win the Mass Cap, and for Bill Perry, and Deputy Minister.
Wow, is that right? Jesus, I saw that race. I remember that.
Go to my timeline. Go to my timeline, and it's on there. And
so what was that? That was 84. Fit to Fight or 83?
Yes.
That was 83.
No, it was 83. It had to be 83 because he was dead for 84.
Yeah.
He throttles that field like you cannot believe.
He was a tremendous horse. I mean, truly a tremendous horse, A Phenom. Well, 83, it was 83 here. I was here every day. That was a weird year. I remember I started school like a week after the meet. I was hanging around for like a week afterwards. Strange. Wow, really?
I'll send you a link. You'll love it. It's
Angel Pena. Angel Pena Jr.
Even Marshall Cassidy gets excited.
You should have Angel come on to talk about him.
I asked Angel. Angel and Tommy were in the box on Saturday, and I said something to Angel.
Angel was here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not Angel Pena. No, Angel.
Angel Pena.
Angel Cordero. Yeah. Angel was in the box on Saturday, and I said to him, I said to Tommy, I said, Tommy, show Angel the my tweet from this morning. And
Tommy,
Cordero.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't
say it like Madonna.
So he pulled it up for him, and Angel could have been badly hurt that day when Phenomenon went wrong, that was in the forego. That was the forego.
Was that the forego? Yeah. During the week. Yep. Yeah. A lot of Saturdays. During the week, yeah.
It was the forego.
Yeah, we used to run the forego during the week. And of course, in 85, who won the forego in 85? And who did he beat? Maybe it was 86. It was 85. Wait, it was 86.
Oh, you're so much better at this than me.
Well, that was when Groovy wired Turkoman.
Oh, that's a favorite of yours.
Oh, I love Turkoman. All right, I think I'm done.
No, you're not. You got to give everybody a quick look at tomorrow at the 75,000. Might be the last $2 pick six carryover ever.
No, it's 11:30. I think I'm done. I don't even have like picks for tomorrow. It's like
really.
Yeah, I'm...
This Dark Day situation has gotten you. You've gotten very.
No, it was. They're tough cards. They're tough cards.
And, yeah, they are. They are.
And I have some things going on.
Well,
I have to finish off for Wednesday's card. I think I just done the last race to finish picks for now. I think about I don't know how good they are. Tough races.
Well, it's a tough way to start the pick six with two maiden specials.
Yeah, that's a tough one to start it out. That's the fifth race is impossible. Good luck for the next race. I don't tell you. I think the Chad Klarovich horse. I don't put a 10-second for Rusty Arnold. Magical ride. Nice horse. After we're up right on Curlin, an honor code. Very excited for the honor codes. I loved honor code. I guess people will lean on Masha in race 7 to bring back race from last Thursday.
Right.
Though I did see that Altea was she's a new face in there, an ex-horse for Marty Schwartz. If she ever beats Masha, Marty Schwartz's head might explode. He might have to, like, camera on him during the race. Larry teased him about it. I said, if Altea beats Masha, we're going to have to escort you from the track. He laughed. The eighth race is very tough. I have not made final picks for that race. I'm not sure I want to be like every other wise guy, trip guy, and pick short ports. I'm just not sure she's good enough, you know?
Yeah.
The features, you know, the features not easy. I think that, you know, Special Relativity, Talk Move to Me, and Saguro Roe can all win the race. And I have the last race open, too. And that's a lot of that to bring back from the off-the-turf race and the last race on opening day. But you have the addition of More Likely Than Not. It's a different Chad Brown horse than the first jury had originally entered it.
You don't want Awestruck? You don't want to use Awestruck in the shine again?
She's fourth. I mean, she's the fourth likeliest winner. I mean, her last race was kind of a phony, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she just was sucking up behind a very slow, very fast pace. And I don't know, are you excited about any of Miss's performance out of the race? You write about Covfefe in the test off of that race? Can I just root for Tom in the test?
Sure.
I really would love to see him win that race. That would be so
awesome. It's not a reach, is it, to think that she could just run them off their feet?
No, she can't run them off her feet. She's not faster than Covfefe. The question is, can she be effective turning back? I'd love to see Tom win that race. That would be so amazing. Because as much as I tease Tom, he's truly one of my favorite people. I just love Tom. You know,
he's a great addition to the whole. He's
great. I mean, Tom, who's, you know, that horse is Tom, and is prepared and his work for everything. And the thing about Tom is that he doesn't take it seriously. You know, he wants to. You know, he and I, we love to disagree with each other and have a point counterpoint going on. But he's as comfortable being wrong as I am. You know, and I think it's an important thing to remember that. We're going to be wrong all the time, and, you know, we do have big egos, but just check your ego, you know. Have a disagreement, and let's face it, we're both wrong a lot, you know, most of the time. And it's racing, and it's discussion, and Tom's, I can't think of a person that I'm more fortunate to get to work with. And I love everybody I work with, I really do. And I love all the people. I think we have a great group of people, and I have a lot of fun with them, and it's a good group. But Tom, for me, I just think Tom's the greatest. And he's got a remarkable. He's got the highest win percentage of any trainer ever. That's one of the 3,000 starts.
You pulled that number out. You pulled that
actually. Nick
that Sandler reality
win told that to me. Actually, yeah.
How about that?
Nick knows all. He's like Buddha. He's the Buddha of racing. He's getting a little edgy these days. Have you noticed?
Yeah, we had a little talk yesterday, actually.
Nick's got a little edgy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that sometimes is a symptom of other issues.
That for him, it's being engaged.
it's the first step in the downward spiral.
Exactly. All right, I am going to go now. It's 11:30.
Outstanding.
I know these are our last moments together, but I feel this is a very special day for us. And, you know, if things don't go well, there's always the archives.
Exactly.
Who do you think fills your shoes if something goes wrong, you know?
Let's think. Let's nominate a couple people. Who could endure this for 15 hours a week?
I think we should open that up to a Twitter poll, who we think should replace you.
Good idea.
The answer is you're just irreplaceable.
I doubt that. This game, you know what? One monkey don't stop no show.
Yeah, except I'm not saying the game stops without you, but I don't know who could do this show like you. Have you had Dale on yet to discuss Dennis's moment?
Well, now you just showed how you don't even listen to the show, because he was on yesterday for 40 minutes.
I tell you I don't listen to the show. I don't pretend to listen to the show.
He was so good
yesterday. Only 40 minutes?
He was so good yesterday. Well, he followed up Sadler, who was 25 minutes of brilliance. Dale yesterday, it was one of his all-time performances. He was unbelievable.
So he was up. So he was on 11:30.
Yes. Yes. That's what I said. That's what I said.
I said we're gonna
try Dale Romans next. He should be awake by now.
Some performance by that horse, Jesus.
Scary. Well, he told everybody on the show months ago that horse was something special.
Tom won the maiden race. He was in.
Oh, when
he said
when
Dale
Alvarado
before the race, you may have a problem. Basically, Tom talked about it on the show on Sunday.
Nice.
In retrospect, as Tom said, I was a little lucky to win.
Well, just remember that Ohm won the debut race of American Pharoah when American Pharoah misfired in his debut, and Ohm went on to a nice career. So maybe
Ohm didn't throw the rider. I mean, American Pharoah didn't throw the rider.
That's true.
Yeah. You know.
Well, he clipped heels. He did clip heels.
Right. Well, what is Dale doing with this monster?
He is going to see where they are, and hopeful is possible, or they'll wait for the jockey club at home. Either the hopeful or the Kentucky jockey club.
No, not the jockey club. I mean, this is November.
The other
you mean
the
Iroquois? You mean
the Iroquois?
The Iroquois.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. There you
I'll
go.
Berate yes. him if he doesn't run the hopeful. I'm going to be very unhappy with him.
He's going to discuss it, and they're weighing the Grade One opportunity, and you know it's also obviously Breeders' Cup timing and all that, and so they're you know, but I got a feeling he'll show up for the hopeful. That
I hope so. Wow, that would be something.
It's an exciting and it's great for Dennis Alba, to have another chance at this kind of a horse after Not This Time. We talked about Not This Time with Sid earlier today, actually.
So. Should like, if you survive this thing, should we have Tina bring you on with a cane, like lead you onto the stage for my show for the end, for you to make your like return, so you can you're okay?
That would be fabulous.
Oh, she'll be gone, so maybe you'll have it.
I'll have a seeing eye cat at that point. Who's on Thursday, by the way?
Jimmy Jerkins, Lafitte, Gabby, Gannett. Stephen Kai too, and we all know. And Craig Mokowski is in town from Timeform US. So,
oh, very cool.
We'll rate him about his figures for a little while too.
Well, it's good timing because Craig can address the pace issues and those figures and what he thought of those giant performances.
Yeah. Love talking to Craig. He's been on a few times before in the past.
Well, the problem you've got is Jimmy, because Jimmy was on with me after Preservationist won. I couldn't get him off the phone. He was on for 35 minutes.
He's a chatty Cathy.
If he's in the right mood, just like his dad.
Jimmy's great. Jimmy's great. Jimmy lost a bet to me. Jimmy lost $20 to me. He was in dinner I was at the other night. He lost a bet to me. I could tease him about that.
What did you pay him off in a few of those?
I was talking about Preservationist and comparing him to Spicetown, who didn't get good until he was 6 or 7. And Jimmy said, no, he was younger than that. I said, I don't think so. But he was so sure that I actually thought I was wrong. But I So when he got him, he was six.
Yeah. Well, did you get to, you know what you could do? You could
pay
off in a few of those lunches right away. I like it.
What are you implying about him? He doesn't pay.
Well, no.
I was going to bring that up with him, and you're going to have a problem.
No, I was going to say you could have traded him a few of the lunches that Anthony owes you.
I think are we down to 20 or are we 22? I think we split the other day. It's hard to remember. Doesn't matter. It's at least 20.
Well, by the end of the meet, he's going to owe you a restaurant.
No, he's actually beat me for lunches. He's up the meet.
He's up for the meet.
Anthony's been picking a bunch of winners. Anthony had a big week last week.
Nice.
And it's a good week last week. All right, I really do have to go, and you need to get me off. So, done.
Yeah, there it is, folks. As promised, the banner Andy Serling visit. Follow Andy, of course. Follow Andy on Twitter, and you're about, I don't know, 8 to 5 to be muted or blocked in the first week. Let's take a break. Last of the morning. I don't know what we're going to do for this last segment. And I could take a Braille lesson on YouTube. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Summer is one of the best times for serious horse players to bet their races. Saratoga and Del Mar are in full swing, along with other top tracks like Gulfstream and Laurel, and ExpressBet puts them all at your fingertips. Plus, ExpressBet customers can play in exclusive tournaments and promotions this summer, and new customers can earn a $500 sign-up bonus. Visit ExpressBet.com today. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
You say you stand by your man. Tell me something I don't understand. You said you love me, that's a fact. And then you left me, said you felt trapped. Well, some things you can't explain away. But the heartaches in me feel this day. Stand by me.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes to close out this Tuesday, and as I mentioned, with the likelihood be out the rest of the week, not happy to be absent for Friday, and the opportunity to have Tony and celebrate with Tony as he stands up for My Juliet in her induction into the National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. What an honor. You know, I guess it's maybe because I'm the last survivor. I guess anybody had a lot to do with her and enjoyed her ability and her accomplishment. But I was so honored to be asked to be at the Hall of Fame induction, which she so deserves. You know, once again, I'm getting the opportunity to ride into a very prestigious event based on her accomplishments. Like I said,
truly
an honor.
Now, I've got some friends, our friends that are coming, and they'll be there with their daughter, Anna Lee, our friend Susan and John, and I got arrangements for them to, you know, to come watch. They have listened to you for years, Tony, and I'll be watching on the feed, on the video feed, and I'll make sure everybody, you know, knows where to go to watch the, on the internet. They expect that she is going to be about midway through the list of inductees. She'll be about mid-program, apparently. So we'll be watching, and I you know, with me having this surgery, this eye surgery today, I can't be there, but I'll be watching, and I know how much it means to you, and I think because of all the years that the listeners have, you know, enjoyed the times we've talked about her, and plus with Steve Haskin, you know, Steve obviously is going to be there. He's in town, and you know, it'll be special for a lot of people that know what it means to you and how much has gone into, you know, getting her acknowledged for, you know, a career that is Hall of Fame worthy.
Well, and Steve Haskin was part of that acknowledgement, a big part of it. And I certainly want to recognize his effort because, you know, he like I said, I have to thank him. You know, there's a little bit that brought it to his attention, and he looked into it, and he was a supporter of getting her into the Hall of Fame. And I can't thank him enough for that. And it's just really an honor to be part of this event. And, Steve, I had no idea you were going to have eye surgery. I haven't listened the last few days.
No problem. Later today, and obviously, you've made it through the show to this point. That we're on call to go in, and so there was a chance that as early as 7:30 they might call us. But we're obviously free and clear now till noon. I'm sorry, Tony. I can't be upright is the issue. I'll be laying flat for you know potentially 2 weeks as part of this. Yeah, it's a little goofy. So I'm sick about not being able to be there. I've looked forward to this. And you know, and for you, it's going to be so special because, you know, all the Hall of Famers, a lot of the Hall of Famers, not everybody, comes back for this, you know, for this Friday. And it's a great atmosphere. You guys will all hang around and you're going to see so many people that, you know, you wrote against and that you haven't seen in some cases for a long time. And you're going to have just the greatest experience. And I can't wait to hear about it, you know, as soon as we can discuss it.
I'm really looking forward to it. And how about our man, Craig Perrett? He's getting inducted. So deserving, isn't he?
Yeah. Yep. And I've waited and I voted for him every year that it's been available. I've talked about it nonstop. We have not had a chance to have him on air. He can be a little elusive on that front. So, put him in the rail for me and tell him, that when I get back, I want to have a discussion because he was absolutely one of my favorites. On a national basis, when I started to really enjoy the game and understand it, he was my favorite. He and Stevens were my favorites on a national basis, and Mig was my favorite New York rider. And so, you know, to be friendly with two out of the three means a lot. And I've reached out to Craig a few times, and I really can't wait. We'll obviously won't be able to do it for a couple of weeks, but I do want to have an on-air with Perrett about his career and what it means to him, and he was Money Mike Smith before there was Money Mike Smith.
Yeah, and you know what? I wrote a little bit with him, and he is kind of an elusive individual. But I always got along good with Craig, and I tell you what, I'm going to get some contact information on him, and we will put him up against the fence and corner. He's going to be on, believe me. We have to work it out. I will work it out. You know, I could be a little persistent in my own way, also.
I love it. Well, it's a terrific experience, and I actually have not. It's been a couple of years since I've been able to be in for one live. It's a lot of fun, and you know, when you realize the history, and of course, there's going to be tremendous emotion with Mary Lou Whitney and the that backdrop of Mary Lou having passed. It's going to be a very special ceremony on Friday. And it's not just the ceremony. It lasts all day because there's the luncheon and there's the ball later on. And, you know, you're going to be around for, you know, three days.
Yeah, I'm coming up Thursday early so I can make the, they have a, you know, like a rehearsal. I forget what time, around 2 or 3 o'clock. And then Friday, the ceremony, and then cocktail party, and after that night, and the next day at the races. I'm going to be there two nights and leave Saturday sometime, Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's going to be a memorable event. And, you know, where would I ever get a chance to be part of such an event like that? And it just brought to light how important she was to my career, my Juliet. And she's actually carrying me into another phase of my whatever's left of my career, just letting me be a part of her accomplishments, of her ability, and be a part of this, you know, so highly prestigious event. And I can't thank the members, the Hall of Fame board members, and Steve Haskin. I'm going to make sure I don't miss anybody. And like I say, once again, my Juliet's let me ride on long with on her laurels. Kind of really going to be something I'll never forget. I'll never forget it. No. And I'm taking my little boy with me, you know, Petey. And, you know, my other boys, they're 36 and 38. They've seen me in action. Petey never really saw me in full swing. But it'll be neat just that he'll be able to be part of seeing something that I was a part of. It's so prestigious as a Hall of Fame event. You know, so.
Absolutely will be. That's tremendous. I love it.
He's 11 years old, you know, and I'm so lucky to have him. He's such a beautiful kid. But then just to have him as part of this whole thing, it'll be really even more important to me.
Well, Tony, and I got a couple of pictures. I'm going to rely on Skip Dickstein, who will be there and be taking pictures. Looking forward to seeing you holding the plaque, and you know that's always a great image. I have a picture to send to you. I went to the paddock the other day to wish Richie Vega and the team good luck for Collegeville, and it kind of looked to me like she just simply was a little tired off the break. What was the follow up?
Yeah, it's been a year, you know, and you hit it right on the head. Sometimes you think you got them so ready in the morning, and then it comes afternoon, and the shipping and the heat and not running in a year. It all caught up with her. You know, he's got another horse in. Her full sister's in tomorrow.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens. But so far, I struck out. I hope she runs good because she's trained pretty good. You know, she's worthy of giving a shot up there. Don't know what she's going to do. It's a guessing game. You know that. I know that. But I think she'll let her presence be felt. You know, she's trained real good. But you know what? I mean, I went out this morning, and it's not even as hot as what it's going to get. And I know everybody's exposed to the heat. But that extra shipping doesn't help a horse, I don't think. But he's leaving today, so he's trying to make it as easy as possible on this baby that's running tomorrow. But we'll see what happens. You know,
her name is Mrs. Phelps, and she's a Mission Impassable. So we'll watch for her. She's going to be in the three hole in that third race, and nice steady series of half miles. And actually, you know, Richie's got, he's just 1 for 7 with first time starters, but you know, certainly. You know, certainly based on her debut last year here, you would think that she could hit the ground running.
Yeah, you use a horse like her if you're playing the gimmicks and whatever. You got to throw her in there, and she's trained real good. Like I told him, I got on her yesterday. She shipped this morning, but I said you have trouble holding her on the ground. She is really cranked up and ready to rock and roll. But, you know, babies are like that, and she's truly an athlete, and she really is going to try. I hope she puts in a good performance where she shows that she's worthy of that type of competition.
Were you on her for that gate work 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been on her for gate work, standing, and getting her ready, and any work that she's had, I've been on her. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, she went 101 and change and breaks. The key, clearly, I mean, it continues to be just breaking sharp. You got to, you know, you break flat-footed with the, you know, there's always going to be a baby or three that, you know, that come out on a flyer.
Well, we've wound up, you know, standing her also after we did get her okay. I think she'll settle down and go in there and be a real professional. Well, you never know until you take them over there in the afternoon and they get all cranked up. You know that. I know that. But she's been a real pro in the morning at the gate. And you were absolutely right, Steve. The gate is a big part of the overall performance just because they're inexperienced. You don't want to get them in a lot of traffic and a lot of dirt in their face in the first early stages of the race. And if they break good and they're in the, you know, the forward position, the race is a lot easier when they're inexperienced. So I hope she breaks good. If she doesn't, you can blame it on me because I'm the only one who's been on her at the gate.
Tony, glad we reached you. I didn't want you to be surprised and disappointed when I didn't, you know, when I wasn't around for Friday and or even, you know, to reach you on Thursday. So I'm glad we were able to get connected today. And congratulations. I'll be watching, you know, on the stream, and just so excited for you and for the filly.
Well, I'm going to miss you, Steve, and I'm going to be thinking about you. I had no idea that you're going through this, and I'll be thinking about you. And thank you for informing me and letting me be a part of this this show today. I really
you
appreciate
got it. Not at all, Tony Black, everybody, and Hall of Famer Tony Black.
At least sounds part of the Hall of Fame. All part of it, at least.
Absolutely. That counts. That counts.
That's as close as I'll ever get, but it's really a thrill and so much of an honor to be a part of it.
Exactly right, and she wouldn't have gotten there without you. Tony Black, everybody. And earlier today, obviously, a fun morning. Andy Serling. Very funny. Sid and Pete and Dick as well. I want to thank Deja on the board. And so now we'll just head down, I think, or as soon as they call for us to come down. And I appreciate everybody. There's been an embarrassing outpouring of of support and kind well-wishing. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. Best of tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, and we'll see. I mean, back as soon as possible. Good luck. Talk to you when I do.